We are back here at Fuel FM and a special time of day because it is time to get with my good friend Doug Pemberton here from The Promise at New Hope Community Church. Doug, welcome to Fuel FM.
Thank you very much, Jason.
He's a big fan of the radio station and the first time on, I think, right?
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah, well, it's great to have you here. We were talking The Promise because it opens up in just a few hours, actually.
We'll be
on stage in a few hours. It's hard to believe, but it's here. The Promise has been around for over 20 years now at New Hope Church. Give everybody a brief description of kind of a background of where you've come from and your role in the show and how you're very tied closely to it in relationship to someone.
Right. Yeah. Well, my sister, Carolyn Hoover, many years ago, back in 98, I believe, she said, honey, we need a guard for the play. And I said, okay. She said, you're in, basically. Show up at this time or
I'm that was the audition.
You. I'm going to hurt you. And I said, okay. So we started with a couple of guards back in the day. Bud Solem was, I believe, Jesus and sort of directing it. Carolyn was in the play. And then from there, it went forward.
So you were a guard to start out with right from day one.
Yes.
And you have been ever since.
Ever since. It's grown. We'll have 14 guards some years. And this year, I think we have 8.
Yeah.
So, but in the beginning, it was 2. And we had plastic armor, and we used to have to spray paint it and whatnot. The magic of theater.
Spray on abs.
Absolutely. We look good, buddy. I'm telling you.
It's good. It's such a good show. You guys need to come out to it. It opens up tonight, 7:30 p.m., Thursday and Friday at 7:30, and then Saturday at 2 p.m. It's a matinee. Mm-hmm. I always said it's $50 a ticket, but if you use the promo code FUELFM, it's free.
So. Absolutely.
Which is not true at all. I'm kidding. It's always free. So just show up. Get there a little early. But Doug, what has this show meant to you personally? I want to get to your story on the next break. But what has this show meant personally to you throughout the years?
Well, it's interesting. It's very difficult to do because it's a soul-wrenching undertaking where you're watching the story of this individual, Christ and God, what he does through this play. You're looking at his story, and you're watching it unfold. But you're not the good guy.
As a guard, you mean?
You were the good guy. I am not the good guy.
Right.
I'm the guard, okay? And I crucify him. I don't like this man. This is something that we do hundreds of times as a Roman soldier, I would assume. And it's just another guy who just gets killed.
Kind of an annoying guy, though, because he crowds the streets. He's teaching these things. Yeah.
Yeah, he is very annoying. And so, you know, when you're watching it, you say, I'm not the good guy in this. And so you watch yourself going through this, and the people are looking at you like you actually did crucify him.
Right.
You know, little children sneer at you, and people just look like they want to kill you. It's just amazing.
Yeah.
They're just very immersed in the theater because it's in your face theater. It's right down the rows. You can feel the sweat and everything. So it's very real for a lot of people. Yeah. And so in that, playing that part, you get to see that, wow, this is maybe what it was kind of like. I don't know. And through all of that, all the long hours and all the practices, you come out on the other end of this going, getting a better understanding of who God is. And that's mainly why I've stuck with it for 23 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is the Bible come to life, right, Doug?
Absolutely. It's in your face. It's if you don't understand, you know, what God is trying to tell you and the love that he has for you or what your life is about, it's a good way to sit down and say, Oh, I get it. That's what this is. That's the story. And that's what I get a lot of people tell me. That's what they got from it. Because everybody gleans something of their own understanding from it.
Yeah. Everybody sees something just a little bit different, too. And I think it does. It depends on where you're at in your journey in life.
Absolutely.
Something from this show, this story, because first of all, it's the scripture. So it's real. It's breathing. It's alive. Your journey, you'll see what you need to see. That's what God wants you to take away from it, which is pretty cool. Doug plays the head Roman centurion, which means he has the bigger brush on his hat. That's all.
That's right. For cleaning corners. It's very good.
Right. I wanted you to describe what it feels like, because during the show, this is the crucifixion scene where Jesus is carrying the cross, and we go right down the aisles. You go right in front of people, whipping him, screaming. What do you feel, and what do you get from the response of the viewer, the person watching the show, when you're walking in front of them screaming it? Because tell them what you say to them, and then tell describe the description or what they experience.
Well, what happens is we start out from on the Via Dolorosa song, and you know he's in makeup, and we roll him down. That we start yelling at the crowd, and that pulls them into the scene. They almost don't want to look at you. They're like, oh my goodness, he's talking to me.
Yeah,
and so they look away. But then some of them look, and they have tears in their eyes, and they're looking at you like you're the villain, and you are of this song and of this play. And then I say to them, what are you looking at?
Mm-hmm.
You put him here. Aren't you the one that wanted his blood on us and on our people?
Right.
I mean, this is, so I yell those things to them and try to engage them, look them in the eye, and maybe make them sort of feel what it was for this individual to understand this. And through that, there's a part of me that doesn't want to do it.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to yell. I don't want to do that. But there's another part of me says, look, you got to do this. You have to be this man. Because mm-hmm. your redemption won't mean anything if you're not this particular way in this. You have to go from to good to bad, you know, back to front. And so in doing that, that's what my character feels in some way. And little children will yell at you just because they're little children. Right. They don't care. They have no filter.
Right.
You're killing Jesus. Stop.
Yeah.
So that's some of the reactions that we get.
Well, we have that every year with people who are in our cast that are part of the general crowd, that they're assigned, what we call them the quote-unquote bad crowd, right. But they're the ones yelling, crucify him. And a lot of people, I can't do this. You know, I can't be that part of the crowd. I want to be the other part, you know. It's just too hard to do that. And I can understand that, right? I can see that. But sometimes you have to show, because those same people who were yelling, Hosanna, here comes, the Lord, blessed be the name of the Lord on Palm Sunday, were the same ones yelling, crucify him.
Right.
And don't we have people like that today still, right?
Aren't we like that some days?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The picture of you kneeling at the cross mm-hmm. is part of the promotionals that they use for the promise. That's not just, it's a photo, but there's a history behind that photo. And I want you to describe the scene, first of all, and then why that is so significant in your life, Doug.
Okay, well, the scene starts where it comes out where Christ is already risen from the tomb. And I come out, and my sister originally had told me, well, I just want you to go up there and just kind of sit by the cross, or just go up there and look at the cross and walk away. And so I had gone up there. It was maybe the second year I had done the play. And I get kind of emotional talking about this because it was real for me. And I was on the fence about God. Okay, I knew him. I was raised in the church, but I just didn't get it. And so the first year I did it, I looked at the cross and I'm like, yeah, I see you. Not next year. So the next year came along, and I got up there, and all of a sudden, as I'm walking up to the cross at the end, I'm looking up at the cross, and all of a sudden I just lose my mind. I fell to my knees. I started weeping. And I realized that I needed God, and I needed it, all of it, and I needed it just completely to be immersed in what is his holiness. And at that time, it just came upon me like a wave.
Yeah.
And that's what I felt. And so I didn't really realize I was in the play at that point. I was somewhere else. I was I was just, it was me and him, and there was nobody else. And then I after about, 10, 20 seconds, I looked up and there's people looking at me and they're crying.
Right.
And then the pastor comes out and gives, his speech at the end, talks about the play and whatnot.
Yep.
And so that was a very pivotal moment in my life.
You say you were on the fence at that moment. Yes. Now, did you grow up with Christianity in your life? In church and all that, or was it?
I did.
Okay.
In Elk Rapids, I was a Methodist church. I was an altar boy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyways, I was an altar boy, and I did. I grew up in religion, as it were, and I knew who God was, Sunday school, and those things. But somebody can tell you about God, but until you get out in the world and experience your own faith and your own stories that solidify what God is and who God is in your life, it's difficult to understand what God is and who he is and how he relates to you. Is religion just something that we do,
mm-hmm.
or is it something that is real, that is palpable? And to separate the religion from from God too.
Relationship.
Yes, because I'm more relational.
Yep.
Experiential as far as reading something and saying, oh well, this must be it. Yeah. I have to experience it, and that was an experience for me.
So Doug plays the Roman centurion in The Promise, and every show at the end is the scripture where the Roman guard says, truly this was the Son. Like, what in the world did I just do? I just crucified the Son of God.
Oops.
Yeah. And so that's who you portray, which is why you then, at the end of the show, go to the cross,
right,
and you start and you kneel and you recognize who he was and who you are in relation to that.
What did I just do?
Yep. So it's a very powerful scene. The whole show is just...
It is.
It's amazing. Shout out to everybody who's involved with this thing. It's just amazing.
So much talent. These kids these days are just amazing.
Yeah.
They can sing and they can dance and they just... They make this chaos look... It's just amazing. I'm so, so proud. And most of them weren't even born when I started doing this. So it kind of makes you feel a little old.
Well, yes. Absolutely.
Yeah.
One of the most memorable moments for you and I, Doug, was during the crucifixion scene, one of the years that I was portraying Jesus that year.
Mm-hmm. I remember it.
I remember it like it was yesterday.
Oh, yes.
So each year, Jesus is on the cross, on the ground, getting nailed to it, and there's some mechanics behind it.
Yes.
And I don't want to give all the backstory, the too much secrets away, but this is part of the story. So there's brackets that we hold on to when we get lifted up. And I remember one year during rehearsal, one of the guards, James, says, hey, the pin is not going into the hole right. So just know that when we lift you up, you're not going to be like locked in there. So because these pins go into the cross and they stay there with little cotter pins. This was the old design.
Right.
So during rehearsal, they raised me up. Nothing happened. It was fine. I kind of pulled my hands in towards me, which wedges the pins in. During the performance, I get the same message in my ear. Hey, the pin's not going in, just so you know. And you know as well as I do, Doug, when it's time to lift, adrenaline starts to flow.
Absolutely.
Do you remember what happened next?
Oh, yes. Well, I was sitting there, playing the centurion, and I'm looking out in the crowd, and, hey, guys, how's everybody? And I turn around, and here comes Jesus flying right at me. I'm thinking to myself, you're not supposed to be in my arms.
What's wrong with this picture?
You're supposed to be back up there. And what happened next was a miracle. What you did was I pushed you back the other way. You flew right back, and the peg went right into the hole that it came out of.
You couldn't plan that.
Not possible. Just not possible. And if you did look up at that very second, you never would have known that you flew off the cross.
Yeah, the momentum carried me, and I couldn't hold the pin in the hole anymore. And it just... I flew, swung out to the left, and you guys caught me and threw me back up there, and the pin went right back in. And for a split second, I was actually mad because I thought, great, now I just ruined the whole mood. Mm-hmm. Everybody's out of character now all of a sudden, or people are out of you're kind of in this trance watching that scene, for lack of a better term. After the show, the miracle was there were actually people who never even saw that.
Exactly.
I'm like, how did you miss that?
I don't know how that's possible.
That was just God.
And, well, by the way, you're also 2.5 feet up off the ground, maybe?
Yeah.
Okay. It's not like you're on the ground and you're just tripping. You're way up high on a cross, and one arm is not next to the other one. Okay? So you got no way to steady yourself, no way to balance yourself. You're on this little bitty
pedestal
with both your toes together.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's had the other one been the same way, I would have went flying into the crowd.
You would have landed on me, and the crowd would have cheered. A little different version, but yeah.
Yeah. No, it's great. It's great to be back in it this year, and it's been always a fun every year with you to hang out, and that's the part of The Promise that's the best. It's just the relationships that we've built over the years, and then during the rehearsals, that's where all the connections are made, and... So, Doug, real quick before we go, first of all, thanks for hanging out today.
Thank you for having me.
Give an invitation to people to come out, and why should they be there?
Well, you should come because you're going to do yourself a favor, okay? You have to sit somewhere for an hour and a half. Instead of sitting watching Netflix, Downton Abbey, which I kind of like, come on out.
Confession, me too.
Exactly. Come on out and sit and be immersed. And they have daycare, I believe, for the children,
right?
Don't they? And so... don't let that stop you. Come on out, sit down, have a great time, learn the story, see what it's like, see people in your community doing their best to bring you their understanding of what it was like back then. And theater is much different from television. It's in your face. It's all around. The smells, the sounds, the sights, the lovely dancers, and all the work that they do. Come out and just help appreciate what it is the promise is and what it is to see the hard work of your community and people that love you. Because that's what it is. This is love. Right. This is us saying, you know, we love you so much. Please, please come out and share this with us. I'd just love to see you there. And say hi.
Yep. My charge is always to, when you show up, you honor their commitments. You Absolutely. Honor their hard work and their dedication to the story of
and
Jesus.
It's free. Did you say that? Free.
Right. We like that word here free. At Feel FM. It's free.
Be free. Come on.
So coming out to The Promise tonight, 7:30 p.m. Thursday and Friday at 7:30 as well. And then Saturday is a 2 p.m. matinee. So we look forward to seeing you there. If you heard this interview, come up to us afterward and just say hi. We'd love to meet you.
Absolutely. Thank you,
Doug,
Jason.
Thank you so much for being here. We'll catch you later tonight.
Yeah.